Hi everyone, it's Curious Raven, again with another true crime. I will put a disclaimer or a little warning at the beginning of this video. It does have some sensitive material, as in pedophilia, and not good to listen around your children. Just letting you know, this is a very, very heinous crimes that this man committed. I just wanted you to be aware that this is sensitive material about children. I watched this 60-minute video from Australia about this a while back, and it came across my YouTube feed again. I remember the story, like it was imprinted in my mind. Y'all, there are these type of people out there. Monsters. Please make sure that you watch your kids and keep them close. And be careful who you trust. Now, the 60-minute video was about a boy named Daniel Markham. He was 13 years old, and the perpetrator is Brett Callum, 34 years old. Brett is a known pedophile in the Queensland area in Australia. Even though the main story was about Daniel, they also added in what Brett did to the other children that he molested and abused. And this is going to be a tough one for me to talk about. I'm not even going to lie. It's hard sometimes. You got to keep your emotions inside. So I'm sorry if I seem kind of cold throughout some of this. But at the end, I will tell you what I feel. I mean, even right now, I'm getting emotional. But I wanted to share Daniel's experience and his memory to the people that do watch this video. This is a very sensitive case. I need to stop rambling. I need to go ahead and just do it. I hope everyone's having a good Christmas Eve. This is when I'm doing this video. It will go out Friday. Today's Friday when you're listening to this. I am going to be spending Christmas with my family and then also going to my in-laws' house and having Christmas dinner. And I hope everyone is getting to see some of their family this year. COVID has been stupid. That's all I can say. That's how I feel about it. It's stupid. I wish you'd just go away and never come back. That is my Christmas wish, because so many people have lost family members from this virus. Me, I am immunocompromised, but I actually take one of the medicines for my lupus that makes it where I don't get COVID, so I think I'm very blessed. But I still wear a mask and everything just to be respectful and to be safe, just in case. You never know. Okay, back to the story. Me rambling, always. But this is the only time I get to talk to y'all. Hopefully soon I'll be more comfortable to do live streams and talk to y'all in the chat. And the last live stream I did not go that well. Only had one visitor, but I was only on there for about 20 minutes for me to record my last true crime video. I'm thinking about when I get more subscribers, I will do more live stream or try again. Anywho, the perpetrator. Let's talk about Daniel first, and then we'll get into the other things that Brett has done. Daniel Markham. His mother describes him as a sweet boy. When he disappeared, he was about to turn 14 in a couple of weeks. He disappeared December 7th, really close to his birthday and Christmas. So I know this family had a horrible Christmas. It was in 2003 when this happened, almost 14 years ago. Brett Callum was driving down the road one day, like on a main road to get to the interstate. And along this road, there are bus stops. And Daniel, the victim, he told his mom that he wanted to go over to the little mall to get his hair cut and to buy his parents and brother's Christmas presents. Well, as he was waiting on the bus underneath a bridge, here comes Mr. Nasty, Disgusting Brett driving down the road, and he just could not contain himself. He sees this 13-year-old boy by himself, no one around. So, but what Daniel doesn't know is that the bus that was coming to pick him up was broke down, not even a mile, something like that down the road. But he couldn't see the bus, so it was far enough where it was broke down, and Daniel had no idea. And he's been waiting there for a while, going, hey, where's the bus? It's late, you know, whatever. So he just stayed there thinking, oh, well, I can catch next bus that comes up. Well, unfortunately, the time between Brett saw Daniel just standing on the side of the road by himself and the next bus that was going to come to pick Daniel up was a 3-minute difference. 3 minutes. It was a window of only 3 minutes. It blows my mind. He was there. Now he's gone. Brett exits out and then gets back on and he pulls up behind Daniel. And he gets out of his car and stands next to him like he's waiting on the bus. How disgusting is that? And he's starting to talk to Daniel and, you know, tell him, oh, hey, what's up? Where's the bus? Is it about to be here? And Daniel's like, oh, I don't know what happened. I'm waiting on the next bus. It should be here soon and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that's when Brett was like, oh, well, what if it doesn't show up? And, you know, filling Daniel with the doubts in his mind that he might be standing there forever. So he said, hey, well, where are you going? And Daniel told him, oh, I'm going over to the mall to get my hair cut and blah, blah, blah. And Brett's like, oh, I can take you over there. No big deal. It's like right up the road. I will take you. And he's like, I'm not sure. Brett sweet talks and acts like he's such a nice guy and says, no big deal. I don't want you waiting here and no one come and you really need to get this done. You know, let me give you a ride over there. And, you know, Daniel's mom said that she wasn't sure about how he actually got Daniel to get in the car with him. Daniel's dad said that he wishes that they were more openly telling their child, when weird people come and try to talk to you and stuff, you ignore them. Don't get in their car. Stranger danger. And I emphasize that with my kids, like a bunch. I tell them the truth that there are people that will want to kidnap you and kill you. It's no joke. Emotional about that. Daniel gets in the car, and the parents think that when Daniel realized that he wasn't going towards the shopping mall, he was probably freaking out and realized he made a mistake. He was a smart boy, and, you know, he was a little naive, but smart. Brett took Daniel 30 minutes south from the bus stop to a farm. Brett has been charged twice before for pedophilia, fondling and molesting little kids and strangling, and they didn't die, but it was like every time that he did it, it got worse and worse. He said this time with Daniel that he freaked out. I'm thinking, my opinion, I feel that Daniel, he was a bigger kid and he could actually fight back. And I really think there was a struggle, and that is why Brett did not succeed in molesting him. He panicked because he didn't want Daniel going to tell everybody what was going on, that he was kidnapped and almost molested by this horrible man. So Brett strangled Daniel to death, and he dumped Daniel's body kind of down this hill into the bushes. At 4:15 p.m., Daniel was not home, and his mom knew there was something wrong. She said she just had this gut feeling. Her name is Denise, and his father's name is Bruce. They searched for about an hour by themselves. They went down to the bus stop, to the mall, to see where their son was, and he was not there. So around 5:30 p.m., that's when they actually called the police. But unfortunately, the police thought, maybe it's a runaway. They didn't really take it serious like they should have. And the police department actually apologized for not responding like they should have. But eventually, I think the next day, they actually started searching for the boy. The parents never stopped looking. And they went on the news. They reached out to every single thing that they could to get this story out about their child and to fight to find him. Now, I will go to the first boy. Now, I'm going to go to the first boy that Brett ever molested. His name was Tim. It was 16 years before what happened to Daniel, and he was only 7 years old. The reason why Tim came forward was because When he heard all this news media about Daniel being molested, and when he knew that Brett was a suspect, he could not hold his tongue any longer. The reason why he said he didn't ever tell anybody is because at 7, Brett threatened him and his family that if he ever told anybody, he would kill them. And at 7 years old, you believe that. Where it happened, Tim was at a daycare. And they're outside playing in the grass and everything. And, you know, a little bit of ways from the center. But it was still on the property, and I guess it was fenced in. And, you know, they weren't concerned. This was in the 1980s, so being wary of people was not common. You know, it was, you let your children just run around town, and there wasn't as much crime back then. People were more trusting, so not like these days. It was Tim and 2 other kids. They ran into Brett working on the grounds of the daycare center. At this time, Brett did not have any type of charges for being a pedophile. He just doing his other little crimes that he did. He was actually working, and unfortunately, he did have orange on, to state that he was a criminal and he was doing community service. But, you know, the little kids, they didn't know that. Tim said that Brett was so nice and funny and inviting and made him feel safe and like nothing was wrong. And Tim was just a little boy that wanted to go help him and be nice. Brett just groomed him. The other 2 kids, they left and Tim stayed. And at that point, there was a bathroom, like a public bathroom really close to where Brett was working for community service. He picked up little Tim and took him in the bathroom. Tim said he went into the stall with him and that Brett locked the door. Tim, on the interview, you know, a grown man now, falling apart on the interview, he said that he just could not talk to people about what happened. He could not give detail about the horrific things that that man did to him. He said that he remembers like it was yesterday. You know, he lost his innocence that day, and that is just horrible. After raping Tim multiple times, they heard one of the daycare workers call his name, and Brett got scared, and so he let little Tim out. Tim said that if that woman did not come by to find him, he probably would have been dead. So she practically saved his life. But to me, them MFs were not watching the children like they should have been. He should have never got that minutes to do that to that little boy. I just, so disgusting. They did catch Brett. He was arrested. And unfortunately, you know, back then, they gave him bail. So he got bailed out of jail for doing that to little Tim and fled for about 2 years. So he had freedom for 2 years. At such a young age, Tim went to the courthouse and testified against Brett and told the courts what he did to him in a courtroom in front of a lot of people. That right there is bravery. He said what really got him was when the court asked, "Who abused you?" He then pointed to Brett, and he said Brett had this smirk on his face, this chilling, ice cold, heartless smile. Demented. That's all I can say. Evil. Unfortunately, Brett only got 2 years for the rape of Tim. 2 years? Are you serious? There was another victim before Daniel. This is the second case. In 1993, Brett lived in an RV park with his girlfriend Tracy. There was a little boy that was 6 years old that lived 2 campers down. The night that this happened, they thought Brett was at work. They did not know that he came home. And this happened kind of between 5 to 7 p.m. Brett took the little boy because the little boy knew Brett. He trusted him. He took him into the bushes and molested him and then hurt him and left him in a burned out car with rocks on top of his body. The little boy had a punctured lung. His eyes were hemorrhaged because Brett tried to strangle him to death. He also had a broken collarbone. This little boy fought for his life. He did not pass away. Nope. He walked back out of the bushes to his mom. And at that time, they were frantically trying to find him because they knew he was missing. And what makes me sick is that Tracy, the girlfriend, said that Brett's like, "Oh, we need to get this MF, that nasty pedophile, blah, blah, blah. I'm gonna go beat his ass." And the whole time it was him. Wow. And Tracy also said that when Brett got home from work, supposedly, you know, finally showed up after he did horrible things to that little boy, that he wanted to have sex with her. And she had sex with him. She didn't know what he just did. The little boy called him Rock Spider, and they turned him into the police, and Brett got 7 years in prison for this attack. Second attack? What the hell? He should be death sentenced, castrated, this is my own opinion, don't come for me, or life in prison. That's what should have happened. I meant 7 years. So this man has a really big track record of being a pedophile. And back then, they didn't have the system where pedophiles had to register. So you can look and see what pedophiles were on it and in your neighborhood. Back to Daniel's case. That was just a flashback of the things that Brett did. The police interviewed Brett 2 days after Daniel went missing. There were 20,000 leads in this case. Even more than that. But nothing turned up. Parents confronted many pedophiles and heard horrible stories and theories of what may have happened to Daniel. And they said it was horrible. Eventually, they did go back to the case and they cross-examined every interview that they did in 2010. Brett was required to appear in court in 2011, and he actually did. It was like an inquest. It was to just redo the interview again. What Brett didn't know, that the police knew his history and wanted to take him down. They had a feeling. They just knew that he was the one that did this. He knew where Daniel was. So what they did is the police started a COVID operation. They placed an undercover cop on Daniel's plane when Daniel got back on the plane after the interview to go home. They set him right next to him, and his name was Joe. And Joe became friends with Brett, and they exchanged numbers and said, "Hey, let's hang out, blah, blah, blah." This operation took 5 months. Joe became really good friends with Brett. Joe acted like he was part of a big mafia, and he was a criminal. And after he befriended Brett and they got to know each other, you know, he kind of got him into his little circle and with his little gang criminal friends, and they started selling guns. But see, all the bad things they did wasn't real. It was all set up. So this was like a huge amount of coordination by the police department to pull all this off, just to capture this monster. I mean, I applaud them. Well, he got into pimping, selling weapons, and drug dealing with his newfound friend Joe. After a while, you know, that he got real deep with the gang and with Joe and being able to trust them and all that, Brett actually met with the crime boss of the whole gang or mafia or whatever you want to call it. He told Brett that he had a really big job for him that paid a whole bunch of money, but he needed to know if there was anything in his past that might come up and bite him in the butt, where he will get arrested and be in prison for a very long time. He told Brett that whatever it was, it didn't matter whatever it was, that he would get it off his record. Like, he would make it go away. He would cover it up. Brett actually told him, not knowing the whole room was being recorded. There was a lot of recording devices for the meeting, and that the crime boss was a police officer. He told him about strangling Daniel and told him where he left Daniel. And he played it off. He said, "Well, we need to go back to that site so we can get rid of any incriminating evidence against you, so this won't come around and when they find him, it'll bite you in the ass." Brett actually took a couple of the gang members and Joe out to the site of where he killed Daniel. And at that time, they had enough evidence to put him away for a long time. So they went ahead and did like a kind of like a sting where all the cops came out with guns drawn, telling them to get on the ground and you're arrested for the murder of Daniel. The arresting officer said that he just looked really shocked in his eyes, like so blindsided. And that was the whole point, was to get him to confess. And he did. Forensic team actually stayed out at the site for about 3 months. They searched on the site for Daniel. They found Daniel's clothes in a creek around the corner, but they found 17 fragments of Daniel's remains scattered across the area. 2.5 years after Daniel was found, Brett was guilty. He got sentenced to life in prison and no parole after 20 years. Bruce and Denise, Daniel's parents, said that day was an amazing day that they can put their baby to rest. They got the bad guy for him, and they can move on with their lives. Daniel had a twin brother and an older brother. They miss him. Daniel Marcombe is the reason why we have the pedophile registry. His parents did not stop. They wanted to make a difference, so this is harder for other children to fall into this trap and better for parents to know and be more aware. They are still very big advocates. They have things in Daniel's name to remember him by for donations and things like that. That's really the story. It's scary. You know, I have a 13-year-old, and to me, he's smart enough to know not to get in someone's car. I don't candy coat, sugar coat anything to my children. And some people might not have the same beliefs as me. I just want them to be ready for the real world. This was very hard for me to read this today, but I'm really happy that this Brett Kellum is behind bars and he is rotting. Now, all the little things that I said through the whole thing are my opinions. But be aware that there are really bad people out there. I hope y'all have a good Christmas. Spend lots of love and joy with your family this year. Y'all are getting to know me a little more every single time that I get on here. And I think that's pretty good. I have figured out my channel. On Fridays, I'm going to do true crime all the time. And the other days that I do post a video, I don't have like set days for the other videos, but I will try to get 2 more videos out every week. One will be true Reddit stories or ghost stories or, you know, things that happen to real people. And then the other video will be like a creepypasta. I like the variety of it. Please, if you are ready to be part of this family that I am building, like and subscribe to my channel. All right. I love you all. I will see you again next Friday. Remember, it's scary out there.